If you turn in your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 3 or turn in your worship guide, you'll find it printed there. Oh, foolish Galatians. What a way for a sermon text to start. We've been walking through Galatians for a couple of weeks. Now we're at Galatians chapter 3. And here in Galatians chapter 3, Paul is done with his introduction. Paul has been given some context and answering some questions about who he is and some things that have been said about him. Here in chapter 3, he turns his attention to speak to the Galatian church. There's no other letter from Paul or no other epistle in the New Testament that is this blunt and this awkward and this kind of in your face as Galatians. Paul's first words to the Galatian church as he begins to address them, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" It's pretty frank and pretty direct, okay? Kind of imagine you opened up an email from a friend or a family member or your boss, and it started this way. Doesn't bode very well. Now, here's the deal. If you look at the New Testament churches, if you look at the New Testament churches that Paul writes to or the New Testament epistles, there's a lot of churches where there's some stuff going on that we might think is kind of worse than Galatians. Do you know much about Corinth and what's going on in Corinth? You know, Corinth is one of those not safe for work letters, okay? But Paul's not as blunt and as troubled and as alarmed and as kind of insulting in Corinthians as he is here in Galatians. This morning we come to the core of why. Now, if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, you can relax this morning, okay? If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, maybe you've been gone from the church for a while, you're not sure, you're thinking about it again, you're checking it out again. You can relax. This is not a fire and brimstone message targeted at you, okay? The foolish people here that God is addressing are followers of Jesus Christ. People like me, people like other Christians. And so this morning, you get to hear God chastise me and them, okay? And you get to kind of watch and kind of listen over the shoulder and hear some good and important things. So join with me as we read along Galatians chapter 3. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, "Cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them." Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. Rather, the one who does them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who's hanged on a tree," so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Pray with me. God and Heavenly Father, would you meet us in your word and would you speak to us? Lord, what we need is not information. What we need is way beyond insight. What we need is so much more than some ideas about how we can live a little bit better. What we need is you. So would you speak to us in your word and would you meet with us? That we would know that when we rise to sing, when we receive the Lord's Supper, when we sing again, when we receive the benediction, that we would know that we have met with the living and true God. Would you draw us to yourself? And would you speak to us and meet with us? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 2 points this morning, and we're going to be brief. Caleb and Aubrey will be coming back up to receive their Lord's Supper for the first time, and we want to get to that. 2 points, whole bunch of C's, okay? First point, credited or cursed? Credited or cursed? Second point, continuing as completed. Credited or cursed? Continuing as completed. Go with me back to verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Paul is exercised. Paul is concerned. He's concerned that the Galatian Christians are cursed. That's what he says, book in verse 10. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. What is going on? Why is Paul so mad and so angered and so concerned about this? Go back with me to verse 2. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Paul is speaking to Christians, followers of Jesus Christ. And what Paul is saying to them is, look, you came to Jesus Christ and you believed. You believed and you were forgiven. Now you've taken a curse upon yourself. Why? Now Paul is pointing out, now you are acting like there's stuff you got to do in order for God to love you. Now there's stuff that you have to perform, places you have to go, things you have to do, things that you must not do. And you're living as if your forgiveness is based on those works of the law. You were free in Jesus. And now you've taken on a curse. You've taken on a curse. Let me put it this way for us. The Galatians are trying to answer the question, am I okay? Am I a good person? Am I okay with God? Am I all right? And in answering that question, they've turned to practices and deeds. So they can say, yeah, I'm good. I'm good with God because I've done X. I'm okay with God because I haven't done Y. I'm good. They have begun to trust in self-righteousness. And Paul says in doing that, you've cursed yourselves. You have cursed yourselves because no one can satisfy God by works. And he's telling them they're crazy because this righteousness, this being okay with God was credited to them in Jesus. That's what it says in verse 5. Look with me at verse 5. Does he who supply the Spirit to you and work miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. I think the King James used the words credited there. Counted to him. Credited to him as righteousness. Now, this doesn't make sense and it's not how we normally think. We would expect it to say, Abraham believed God, he became obedient, and then God said he was righteous. But that's not what it says. Righteousness, being okay with God, that's what righteousness is. Our standing of being okay with God. We think of that in terms of our deeds, right? Not in terms of what we believe. And the word of God here, Paul is reaching all the way back to Abraham to say to the Galatians, look, I'm not making this stuff up. This is the way it's been from the beginning. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. It doesn't say Abraham did the right thing. Abraham was faithful. Abraham was obedient. And therefore God said, you're okay with me. It said Abraham believed. He believed. And God said, you're righteous. It's insane. We know it doesn't work that way. If your mom or your wife says to you, did you take out the trash? And you say, well, I believe I took out that trash. If you didn't take out that trash, you're not okay with your mom or your wife. For us, it's actions. Did you do it? I don't care what you think. I don't care what you believe. I don't care what you were thinking. I don't care what your intention was. What have you done? Did you do the right thing? Did you do the wrong thing? And here, this is the insanity of the gospel. God says that believing in Jesus makes us righteous. Trusting in Jesus Christ, not our actions, not our deeds, not our obedience. It's simply believing in Jesus Christ. And his life, his death, and his resurrection, that is granted to us, credited to us. Jesus, his life, his obedience, his death, and his resurrection are credited to me. And I'm found righteous. To give that up and to turn to my own effort, my own obedience, my own goodness is putting myself under a curse. And that's what it says. Look at verse 10. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. For all. Doesn't just say a few people. For some of y'all who are relying on the law. It says, no, everyone. For every single follower of Jesus Christ who is relying upon laws, they're cursed. Not just a bad idea, right? Not just a, hey, that's not so good, that's not so effective. Paul says it's a curse. If you rely on your obedience to answer the question that you're okay with God and God's okay with you, the Bible says what? You're cursed. You're living under a curse. It's big language, right? We all know what a curse is. You know, if someone's cursed, it doesn't matter what they do. They're doomed. Someone's cursed, there's some other power at work that has doomed them or spoiled them or damned them. And God is saying, you've cursed yourself. And we make those laws. Yeah, that's how we answer the question. Am I okay? Am I a good person? Have I been good enough? Have I done, and this is how it works in my head, you know, have I done enough that God might do good things to me more than bad things? Am I kind of moving the needle from the punishment to kind of the blessing side? And we answer that question by, well, what have I done? Have I been good? Have I been faithful? Have I been nice? We also answer that question, we've seen this in Galatians, by comparing ourselves to other people. Well, I may not be, you know, I'm not as bad as I might be. You know, I'm not as, there's a whole bunch of people out there a whole lot worse than me. And that's part of the curse. When we live before God as if our obedience is what makes the difference, we compare ourselves to other people, don't we? We got to. We got to try and get above the middle. We're going to try and kind of appease our conscience. Well, I'm not as bad as I could be, but at least I'm not like that person there. They're really obnoxious. God tells us there's a choice. Credited or cursed. And it's a serious choice. It doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But it's explained to us in verse 12. Verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hung on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. God is saying, hey, okay, doesn't make sense, but here's how it works. You're cursed because you can't obey the law. Doesn't matter what you try and do, you can't obey enough. You want to try it? Go, try it. You try and be good enough for long enough, and pretty soon you're going to realize you're cursed. And so Jesus, who was perfect and holy and obedient, he became that curse so that you could become everything that Jesus had. His life, his death, and his resurrection. He took your curse and he gave you his obedience so that we're found in Jesus Christ, credited to us. I love children. I love babies. Especially love babies. I love babies more than I love children, probably, to be honest. Pregnancy kind of fascinated me. And at one point, I remember just thinking about my wife was being pregnant and I'm being born, and you know the whole thing about kind of them, you know, kind of crying out and breathing and getting stuff out of their mouth and all that stuff when they're born. And it kind of hit me. It was like, whoa. How do babies breathe inside their mothers? You know, why don't they drown? It's really important, you know, when we get them out, that they kind of get that little smack on the behind or whatever. And I don't know if they do that anymore. It's probably old school bad news. But that they have that kind of, you know, kind of cry. How do they breathe inside their mothers? Why don't babies drown? Breathing is so important, right? If you don't breathe, you die. And I finally talked with someone about it and realized that their mothers breathe for them. That their mothers breathe and there's oxygen in their blood. And that oxygen in their blood is the life of their children. Their mothers are breathing for them and they're passing on this through the umbilical cord. It's a great picture of what Jesus does in his life and his death and his resurrection. If you believe in Jesus Christ, the umbilical cord of Jesus is stuck into you. And his life, his death, and his resurrection flows through you. And Paul is saying, look, when you all unplug that and plug that into your goodness, what are you doing? It may make sense to you, but do you realize how crazy that is? For you to trust in yourself, for you to look to your goodness, for you to look to your reputation, for you to look to the things that you think make you a good person, that's cursed. See, a conscience that does not know it is found in Jesus Christ, it's got nowhere to go apart from bad places. And here's what we do. If we don't believe the true gospel, we do one of two things. We either work really hard to be better, to be good. And if we do that, we know we because there's a holy God. We hold on to the holiness of God. And we work hard because God is holy. We got to be good. So we work hard. And what does that eventually lead us to be? Disappointed, exhausted, depressed, and anxious. Because we know we can't be good enough. And so the only other option is for us to kind of distance ourselves from God. Kind of pretend God's not so holy. God doesn't mind or God doesn't see. Or to kind of minimize, you know, the darkness inside of us. To minimize our choices, to excuse them. To try and kind of put a righteous spin on them or a righteous explanation that what we did wasn't so bad. Both of those are cursed positions. Guilt and shame and anxiety. When we do not trust in Jesus Christ, that His life is credited to us, we're cursed. So what's the alternative? The alternative in Galatians is for us to continue as those who are completed. That's our second point. Continue as those who are completed. Let me put it this way. You know how bad it is for a child to grow up fearing that their parents' love for them is not secure. You know how destructive that can be to a human being. To grow up believing that if they don't get A's or if they don't perform, their parents are going to be really disappointed with them and not love them. It's damaging. And that's kind of what God is addressing here in Galatians about us growing up in Jesus. Go with me to verse 2. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? God here is talking about following Jesus, not becoming a Christian, but walking as a Christian and following God. Here, the word perfected is used, but that's a word about finished and completed. It's not talking about perfection. We know that no one's perfect. The Word of God knows that no one's perfect. No one here in Galatians is pretending to be perfect, but it's talking about being whole. Are you now being made whole by the flesh, by your effort? And what he does is he goes to the beginning. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? It's a rhetorical question. When someone comes to Jesus Christ and confesses their sins and says, I trust in you, they're given the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. It's not something they have earned. That's how they began, with this gift. And God says, continue as you began, as recipients of the gift of forgiveness and love. Look with me at verse 7. That's why we're talking about being blessed. Know then that is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed, along with Abraham, the man of faith. Being blessed is different from earning, right? Getting what you deserve. That's wages. That's payment for services rendered. Being blessed is different from that. And we are blessed with this gift of God. Not cursed by relying on ourselves. We're blessed with this gift of forgiveness by God through faith. That's how we begin the Christian life. And that's how we continue. Verse 11. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. What does that really practically mean? I'll give you a real concrete example. Say you're a Christian and you're struggling with anger. You get some anger in there. The cursed way is to say, okay, I'm going to pray and I'm going to work harder in my anger. I'm going to count to 10. Don't want to be angry anymore. I'm going to try to not be angry anymore. You know, I'm going to muscle through it. I'm going to do it. That's the flesh. And that way is cursed. That's not living by faith. But it's what we do as Christians. We think, I got to do this. I got to make it right. I got to be good. I got to be better. The gospel of Jesus Christ comes to us as a gift and says, hey, the most important thing in this world is you being restored to God. And in Jesus, you have been. You've been loved and accepted and forgiven. So what are you angry about? What is it that's captured your heart and your mind? What is it that you think you have to have or hold on to that's being threatened and is making you angry? See, it gets deeper, gets at our idols. And when we are trusting in something other than Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, there's a knock-on effect. You can become angry. And so the gospel, believing in faith, says, what is it I'm trusting in more than Jesus? What is it that has captured my heart, or I think is more important than his love? Where in my heart do I not realize I am forgiven? Is that why I'm being angry? If God has forgiven me so much, why would I be angry here? Maybe I don't believe that God has truly forgiven me. Maybe I think I'm a constant disappointment to him. That's what it means to live by faith, to turn to Jesus and the cross. The only other option is to fake it, to pretend, to kind of go to church and pretend that you're not that bad, and but look around and kind of begin to be a little bit suspicious when you're looking at people thinking, I don't think that person's quite as good as they pretend to be. Or looking around thinking, you're all a bunch of just fakers. You're all pretending to have it together. You're all pretending everything's fine. You're all pretending you're good. You're not good. You're not that good. The only answer is to find the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And say, I will not live as a cursed person, where God's acceptance of me is based on me being good enough. I will live as someone who is loved and accepted and made whole in Jesus. What does that look like? I'm going to close with this one illustration. American Idol's back on TV. I loved American Idol when it first came out. Our own worship director, Kari Sellers, made it to Hollywood Week on American Idol in an early season. Not all y'all know that. I loved Simon Cowell, that obnoxious, rude Englishman. American Idol, you know the premise. All these young people, they're singing, they're playing, and they're voted on, and the numbers are cut down every week. And it gets towards the final. And these young people are up there, and they are singing for their life. They're singing for the votes. They're singing to get positive words from the judges, and singing hoping that people will send in their text message that they will be good enough to win moving on. That's how it goes, the whole show. Until the very last episode, when the winner sings. For the first time in the show, it's not for votes. It's not for votes. They're not singing to be accepted. They're singing because they have been accepted. They're singing not in fear that they might lose. They're singing in the security that they have won. Brothers and sisters, the gospel is clear. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we have been accepted and forgiven and declared righteous. We've got to guard against putting ourselves back under the law. So how do you answer that question? Am I okay? Am I good? Am I good with God? The only answer is Jesus' life and death and resurrection for today and tomorrow. In Him, I'm good. Is obedience important? Yeah. But the real question that makes the difference between being cursed and being blessed is, are you singing because you've won? Are you singing because you're afraid you're going to lose? Let's pray. God and Heavenly Father, feed us in the Lord's Supper. Feed us your grace. Feed us your very self. For in Jesus Christ, we want to celebrate the gospel. We want to believe the good news. That in Jesus we have been found righteous and forgiven and loved. Amen.